This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
First couple of hours of the show, obviously, we went through the therapy. Ty Butler and I had our white coats on, trying to help the Knicks fans through what happened last night. I was also trying to get better through therapy while, you know, just talking it out with the fans. So we tried to get through that. Then, of course, we chatted, and we're currently talking about the situation with the Jets quarterback. Adam Schefter has talked about issues with quarterbacks that are becoming, that may be available. Derek Carr obviously being benched, you know, for this game coming up for the Raiders. There's talk that they may be ready to move on from him. Obviously, Jimmy G has been in that mentioned as a possibility. I even heard Gardner Minshew being a possibility. You know, everybody thinks that they are better than Zach Wilson, and the Jets will be in the market for a quarterback. And we'll continue to take your phone calls about Mike White. But I want to say this, Ty, real quick, before we get to the calls. For me, they have to be able to run this football Sunday a little bit to slow down the rush and protect Mike White's ribs. And Robert Salas talked about what needs to happen with this run game that he called putrid after the Jaguar loss.
For sure, teams are stacking the box and expecting us to, or daring us to throw it and beat them that way. And usually that comes with the weather. It's a lot harder to throw the football this time of year than it is earlier in the year. And you got to earn the right to back them off. And does Mike help that? We'll find out. But at the end of the day, we're in playoff type football, crappy weather. You've got to be able to run the football.
Pack your defense and your run game and you head for the road, Ty. And that's what they have to do to win in Seattle. It can't all be about Mike White in this game.
So I know a lot of people listening are old school. I'm new school. I run with the mantra, no pun intended, establish the pass. That's going to open up the run game. And this brand of football, you establish the pass. The best teams are doing it. And you utilize your passing attack to help, you know, to help you establish a good running game. So I think it's important for the Jets. Yes, obviously we want to get Michael Carter going. We want to get Zonovan Knight going and Ty Johnson coming out the backfield as well. I get all of that. But in order for that to happen, Mike White completes a couple of passes, you know, gets them going in that aspect, which is something that Zach couldn't do, which allowed defenses to stack the box. I think that's going to be important for the Jets going forward. Because I mentioned this on the show yesterday, Larry. The Jets have scored 4 touchdowns in their last 4 games during this losing streak. I mean, how are you expected to win a football game that way? I don't care how good your defense is. 4 touchdowns in 4 games? You can't. That's not a recipe for success.
That's the Gangrene Report, driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. I agree with you, Ty. I don't care what sets up either way. I'm good. We could run to set up the pass. We could pass to set up the run. But once you become one-dimensional, you're killing your quarterback. And that's what's happened. I don't care who's back there. Look, Mike White was phenomenal in Minnesota. Phenomenal. But 1 of 6 in the red zone? So at that point, sometime either you start throwing for the end zone outside the red zone, or you have to mix up. And can they throw to their running backs?
What's up?
Do they have to hand off? Do they have to hand off to the running backs all the time? Can't you line them up in the slot? I mean, Michael Carter can catch the ball. I don't know. I don't get it.
Why is it that they get to the red zone and it's like something happens? You'll watch the Jets and they'll go 6 plays for 75 yards into the red zone. And then once they get there, it's like they forget how to play football.
Power outlets.
I don't know if it's more of coaching, if that falls on the quarterback. There's something odd that happens in the red zone once this team gets there. They just can't seem to punch it in.
No question about it. Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to John in New Jersey. John, you're next on the Michael K. Show.
Hey, big Jets fan here. And I think you guys are spot on. You know, with the Jets, they just need to bring more than Mike White. You know, this lack of spark that they've had, that's why people are excited about Mike White. You know, we're not really looking at him as one of the greatest passers in the NFL, but he just seems to bring something out of this team. And if you can imagine that he wins these 2 games, it's going to be this talk of, you know, who is he? Is he this this guy that can really throw the football? Is he this leader? Is he both? So if he gets us to the postseason, then I think that you gotta value that in what kind of quarterback you're getting. You know, earlier you're talking about the names that are out there, but if Mike White can get the team back to, you know, to the juice and the energy that they had earlier, then I think that it's going to be an interesting discussion on how you value whatever Mike White brings to this organization.
I think you're right, John. Thanks for the phone call, because that's going to be, he certainly, who is also a free agent, Ty, he certainly would definitely be in that mix where you'd say, well, listen, we'll bring him back and that he could be the starter. And if we find somebody else like a Derek Carr or a more of established quarterback, veteran quarterback, he'll be the backup. We'll have a serviceable backup. I do think that his availability is going to be an issue, though, Ty. In the back of your mind, you got to say, okay, because he's a guy that's not mobile, you know he's in the pocket, you know where he's going to be, either you're going to have to, well, look, you got to update your offensive line anyway, so you got to work on that no matter who's back there. But that's going to be a major consideration. Look, the league, the top quarterbacks in the league who are successful, the young quarterbacks, you're moving towards guys that can move, guys that can extend plays, and they can stand in the pocket and throw. They're versatile, okay? Mike White can stand in the pocket and throw. He's not as versatile. So that's going to be a consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if I would have to imagine that in order for him to be involved in that conversation about being the quarterback of the future, they at the very least have to make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it feel that way?
Yes.
You got to get them into the playoffs. This is a very winnable game in Seattle. This is not going into, you know, CenturyLink where it's the Legion of Boom. This is going into a Seahawks team that started off well, but 7-8 on the season with Geno Smith at quarterback. And Geno started off great as well. But this is a very winnable game. And then next week, you would assume that with another concussion, I know Teddy Bridgewater is going to start this week for the Dolphins. You would assume that Tua's done for the year, right? And, you know, and if that's the case and you're going up against a backup quarterback, these are two very winnable games for the Jets. So if Mike White is going to, you know, put his stamp on being the quarterback of the future for this team, I would imagine the at the very least, he has to get this team to the playoffs.
He definitely does. There's no question about it. And then it becomes an issue. Now, if he doesn't, Ty, now what do the Jets do? Because if he's the reason they don't get it, if he's the reason that their offense doesn't move forward, all right, and now you've got him, you've got Zach Wilson, I mean, now you're starting from scratch. You're right back where you were before Sam Darnold was drafted.
That's a scary thought. But I guess not. You're not really where you were with Sam Darnold because you didn't have a roster. At least with this team, you have a legitimate defense. You have some weapons. You got AVT coming back. Who knows what's going to be the move with Mekhi Becton? He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. But, you know, in theory, he's going to be returning. Breece Hall's coming out your backfield, and we saw how electrifying he was. So you have a legitimate team, but, I mean, you can only go but so far if you don't get the quarterback. And you know, is Aaron Rodgers going to be available? We know Derek Carr possibly will. I personally, the two guys that I just don't want to see associated with this team, Gardner Minshew, God bless his heart, but no thanks, and then Jimmy Garoppolo, because if Kyle Shanahan already decided that you weren't good enough, and I respect Kyle Shanahan's offensive mind, if he's saying that in his system he can't utilize you, then I'm good. I'm sorry, I'm good.
Mike's in New Jersey. Mike, welcome to the Michael Kay Show.
Hey, guys.
Mike, you there?
How you doing, guys?
Good, yeah, we're good.
There. You hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, we got you.
Hey, I got to say, I love you guys both. I can wait on hold for an hour when Michael's on the line or on doing the show, but, man, you guys got to get more callers on. I'm sorry. I know I'm not
professional. Get this guy off the line. Get him off. Get him off. Stop it.
Ron's in Chester. Please. Hey, Ron, you're next on 98.7 ESPN.
That just got me so angry.
Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
What's up, Ron?
So let's talk about Mike White and the pluses and the minuses. And correct me if I'm wrong on these. First, he's got a quick release. That's a plus. Second, he seems to have a good enough arm for the NFL. That's a plus. he seems to see the defenses and has the ability to read defenses. That's a plus. These are the three most important things for a quarterback. What he doesn't have and what Larry touched upon, and because of his warrior mentality of being a backup, he doesn't have sustainability. He's always there, standing there, being so immobile, he does not has not learned how to protect himself. It's the only reason Tom Brady and Drew Brees have been successful for so many years, and as well as Peyton Manning. They learned early on that going down and protecting themselves is the most important thing to do to play another play. But because Mike White has been such a backup and sees this as his only opportunity and his warrior mentality, he's doing things, and I'm really, really concerned with him and his ribs that this is not going to end well because of that mentality.
Well, I'll say this, Ron. You make a good point. Thanks for the phone call. And to further that, that's why the offensive lines have to be so good around Tom Brady, around Peyton Manning when he played, around all the quarterbacks who just have that issue where they don't move. And so, it's the ability to do that. Then also, Ty, you shorten the routes. Okay, give me a 5-yard play. Give me a 5-yard slant. Boom, there he is. Read it. The thing that I like about Mike White, and hopefully wherever he goes, whether it's here or wherever he goes to continue his career in the NFL, Zach Wilson in whatever situation that is, he's got to be able to process who's open and much faster than he does. He just takes too long to figure out, okay, that guy's not there. Where else am I going? And he just seems like he can't read the field. He can't process that information quick enough to make a decision. And then by that time, he's held the ball too long. It's 3 seconds. It's 4 seconds. And he didn't run. And he could have ran.
I think that sometimes it is possible to suffer from overconfidence. And I think that he is so confident because everyone raves about like the off-schedule stuff that he's able to do. And when a play breaks down, he's able to roam out the pocket and make a great throw. I think because he's so confident in his ability to always do that, it causes him to hold on to the ball too long. And that's where he gets himself in trouble. Which is why we go back to what Salah said after the Mike White first start of his season against the Bears. He said, it makes the easy look easy. You don't have to go out there and be a magician. There's only one Patrick Mahomes, right? There's only one Josh Allen. Like, those are the upper echelon guys who, look, Larry, in situations will make boneheaded decisions where they're turning the ball over, right? They'll try to make the hero play, but you allow them to get away with that because you afford them that because of, you know, what they bring to the table elsewhere. Whereas Zach Wilson, what else is he bringing to the table? Nothing. Yeah. Give him that benefit of the doubt.
Nope, you can't. He's got to earn it. He hasn't earned it yet. Josh is in Boston. Josh, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. What's happening, Josh?
So I think it's pretty clear Zach Wilson's done. I'm just wondering, who's most at fault here? Is this Joe Douglas fell in love with the wrong guy? Is this you have a defensive head coach who doesn't know how to develop a quarterback? Or is this, hey, Zach Wilson wants to go play backyard football and wasn't willing to adapt to the situation? I'm just wondering, like, who's most at fault for such a wasting the number two pick?
Josh, and thanks for the phone call. It's a great question. Ty, there's a bunch of people at fault, but the first person at fault is going to be the GM. When you're picking a quarterback and you're drafting as high as the Jets did, and they need a quarterback as badly as this franchise has been searching for one forever, you can't make that type of mistake at that high draft choice spot. You can't.
Yeah.
So the biggest blame is going to go to him. Now, as you go further down, is it part of it is on him? Part of it is coordinator? Part of his quarterback coach? I'm going to disagree with Steve Young in this sense. Because I know he loves to blame defensive head coaches. They don't understand. They don't do this. I get it. And I understand what he's saying. And I will preface it. I will concede Steve Young knows more football than me. I will concede that. Much more football than I do. I will concede that. But I'll say this. I don't know how much of a role the head coach has in developing, especially a defensive head coach, in developing your quarterback. That's on your coordinator. That's on your quarterback coach. That's on your O-line coach. All those folks do that. If anything, his job from a defensive standpoint is to help your young quarterback understand and process what defenses are doing to him. This is what you see. Okay, you see this over here? Why they're doing that? Well, this is from this standpoint. When I'm a coordinator and I want to force you to do this and I see you do that, this is what I do. So I think from that standpoint, if you're saying, well, he hasn't done a good enough job in helping him decipher what defenses are doing to him, okay, then throw the head coach in there too. But for me, I think it's the big thing is the GM and the scouts, and the rest of it is offensive coordinators, quarterback coaches, stuff, and the offensive lines folks.
And you know what's so funny? Like, whenever this happens and we start to, you know, unpack what the situation is and, you know, what does it mean going forward, we hearken back to information that was presented to us before that we ignored. And when Zach Wilson was drafted, it was a story. You know, he was never the captain at BYU, and that's kind of unprecedented. You know, the quarterback is usually one of the captains on the team. So now when we see what's going on with the Jets, we wonder, what was there something to that? Is there something about, like, his lack of leadership that was divisive in that locker room where they didn't feel like it was warranted to anoint him as the captain? So and if that's the case, then, you know, to the caller's point, then that does become a problem for the GM. Like, how did that not, you know, factor into whether or not he should have been drafted? I think this guy came in with a lot of talent, and we saw the throw at Pro Day, and everyone got excited about, you know, that situation. But it's just, at some point, you've got to see some progress, and we haven't seen it in 2 years, Larry. Like, we haven't seen any progress. He looks like he might be worse than what he was last year.
And that's scary to think that he's regressed. And it's funny, Ty, because when you look at some, and once again, he's the ultimate tease. He makes some plays one side of the field to the other. He makes some decent throws. You see, oh, okay, that's what they saw. And you can see what Joe Douglas and the scouts saw. You can see what they saw. The problem is, and maybe this is also an issue, is not so much that where they drafted him too, but the fact that when they brought him in, Ty, and there was this big conversation. You know, we've talked about it here a lot.
Yeah.
Why isn't there a veteran quarterback to help mm-hmm. him out? Why did you just put him in that situation to bring him here? Why?
You can blame them for that. Absolutely. That's very fair.
You know, they should have. You've had experience, okay, with drafting quarterbacks and just throwing them in. I say this all the time. Everybody's not RG3. Everybody's not Andrew Luck. Everybody can't come out of college and start in the National Football League right away. Now, listen, Patrick Mahomes would probably be great anyway. But even he sat a year behind Alex Smith, and mm-hmm. and how much did he learn from sitting behind Alex Smith and digesting an offense? We know how Andy Reid is offensively, okay? Yeah. And you know what kind of offense he's running. So it a year to digest that offense, to watch it work, to be in those meeting rooms, it turned out to be invaluable for Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he wouldn't still be great if he played his first year. But the fact that he didn't play his first year, it only heightened the fact that he got time to digest everything, learn, and perform. And listen, I'm not the one who was saying that Zach Wilson made Patrick Mahomes-type throws. So I'm not comparing Mahomes and Wilson. But sometimes you have to know your quarterback. You have to know your system.
You know what's
and
so
with,
frustrating?
And with the young offensive coordinator, Ty, maybe it would have been better to have a veteran quarterback in here to help them both.
So frustrating. It's like we keep having this same conversation year after year after year about, you know, you're a quarterback away. I am so tired of this team that I root for being a quarterback away. You just go up and down the league, and it's rife with young quarterback talent. You know, Josh Allen with the Bills, Joe Burrow with the Bengals, Lamar Jackson with the Ravens, you know, Trevor Lawrence in year two. I think the Jaguars started something like 2-7, and right now they've got a really good shot, and I actually think they are going to win that South Division. So in year two, Trevor Lawrence is going to be in the playoffs, and then Justin Herbert, they're in the playoffs for the first time with him as quarterback, and Mahomes with the Chiefs, and Hurts with the Eagles. It's like young quarterbacks all around the league, and the Jets can't get one of them?
Nope.
Not
haven't
a one.
Able to.
Not
able
a one.
To. Can't do it. Can't do it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what, Ty? This Big Blue Report is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Daniel Jones has had a very good year. Let me throw some numbers at you, Ty.
Let's do it.
Okay. He has passed for 3,028 yards. That's one more than he passed for in his rookie season of 3,027 yards. He's got a 66.5% completion percentage. He's got a 90.7 rating and a QBR of 56.8. And get this, Ty. He's got 617 yards rushing, which he averages just under six at 5.7 yards per carry. So Jordan Runnon, who's on DiPietro and Rothenberg this morning with Pat O'Keefe pinch hitting for the guys, was asked how the perception of Daniel Jones has changed this season.
We've gotten to see Brian Daboll has put him in better positions, right? They're not asking him. Like, I think in the past, the coaching staff, this was part of the problem. You know, they would get down and they all of a sudden you would see them, okay, let's go back and sling it. And then their offensive line couldn't hold up. Daniel Jones is getting pounded. He's getting crushed. He has no chance. He doesn't have the right playmakers around him. I mean, because he still never had a number one receiver. But you've seen it now consistently. You've seen it now in big games. I think that's really the part to me that's been the clincher these last few weeks. Daniel Jones has played his best football these last 3 or 4 weeks when the Giants' season was on the line. And I think that helps check just yet another box. He stayed healthy throughout the season. Those were kind of two of the biggest boxes that needed to be checked, and he's done it. So I'm having a hard time finding a scenario where he's not back as the starting quarterback, especially once the team makes the playoffs.
And Ty, it's going to cost the Giants a little bit more money than what they probably thought going into the season, because with the changes, Jets looking for a quarterback, Vegas may be looking for a quarterback, there's other teams that's going to be looking for a quarterback, Daniel Jones is going to make some money. He's going to be popular.
He is. And for the Giants, I think that it was important, and I mentioned this with Dan Grassi yesterday, it was important for Daniel Jones to answer two questions. And it was about, you know, his injuries and his ability to stay on the field because he just kept getting hurt. And this year he started every game. And the turnovers. He's only got 8 turnovers in 15 games this year. He's been really good, and that's despite not having an array of weapons. He's throwing to guys, you know, that we had never heard of. You look up, and it's like Daniel Jones just completed a pass to a guy that I know you've never heard of. So it's been impressive what he's been able to do. So I'm intrigued to see what Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley looked like in the Brian Daboll offense surrounded by upper echelon talent.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. And you know what I mean? You know what this shows? Coaching matters.
Yes,
coaching
does.
Matters, especially
in the
National
Football League. Oh, so you mean Joe Judge wasn't a good coach?
He had some struggles. He had some struggles, Ty. He had a couple of struggles, you know. Clearly, he wasn't good offensively, and we've seen that with him in New England.
Yeah, I love that. Bill Belichick watched Joe Judge with the Giants and said, you know what? instead of being unemployed, I think you are primed to be the offensive coordinator.
Co-coordinator.
You and Matt Patricia.
And listen, he could have put him back on special teams that he was really good at. He didn't even put him back on special teams. He brought him in as a coordinator. Sometimes I wonder.
Can I ask you a question, Larry, real quick? It's a little off topic.
Sure.
Have we ever figured out? Matt Patricia uses a laminated play sheet to call his plays. And yet, every time you see a shot of him on television, he's got a pencil like tucked in his ear.
Yep.
Like, how is he using a pencil and a laminated play sheet? Figured that out?
He's not doing it. He's not using it for that. That's
so
habit.
It's stylistic?
Yeah. No, that's habit. Looks that's dumb. Just a habit for him. I think that's
it looks
just
dumb.
It does. It does, especially with the laminated. Now, unless he's got a notepad in his pocket.
Maybe he'd like, be a
don't
better
run that play
caller.
Again.
Maybe he'd be a better play caller if he got rid of the stupid pencil.
Yeah, he probably should let Belichick call the plays too. He probably should.
I love what's happening in New England.
It couldn't happen to
so
a nicer
fun.
Team.
It's so
couldn't
fun.
Happen to a nicer team. We really couldn't. Say back to the phones. Brian's in Melbourne. Brian, you're next on the Michael Kay Show.
Hello, I'm a huge fan of yours. You too, Tom. I used to call you all the time on Dave's show on Saturday when you was taking the phone calls.
Appreciate you,
bro.
You
have made big strides. I'm so happy for you. I just never got a chance to call you because I always be busy doing the weekend shopping, as you always know.
Well, I appreciate you, homie.
I have to say, I'm a 49er fan. I always like Daniel Jones. And if the Giants play around with Daniel Jones, it's going to be teams that are going to give Daniel Jones real money. It is, without a doubt. You know?
Well, I tell you, I agree with you, Brian. I agree with you. Thanks for the kind words, my friend. I agree with you. And just think what he can do, Ty, with other weapons. And that's what we're talking about. You just mentioned it. If you add another receiver or two with Saquon Barkley. And here's the thing. And it's funny because the Giants are in a unique situation. And the situation is this team has performed better than what they expected.
Yes.
Okay? So now when they go about improving this team, how do they look at this team, honestly, Ty? Do they look at it and say, you know what? Look what we achieved. Maybe if we get just one or two receivers and one or two key pieces, we can build and heavy in the draft. We can build and be successful and win along the same time, as opposed to, all right, this is a total rebuild. We got to tear everything up. We got to get a new quarterback, got to get new wide running back. We got to just go from scratch to get us a young quarterback in the draft and just roll on. Now, they have to be very careful with how they perceive this team, okay? Because it's not a talented team, but it's a team that's been well coached, and it's hidden some of the things that they need, that they desperately need, has been covered, and they've just been successful. Why have they been successful? Because their defense has been very good. Wink Martindale does a great job in calling plays and schemes and setting up things. So the teams are close, and in the fourth quarter, they found a way to win. That's why that's why the game with them in Minnesota was so interesting, because they're both teams that win a lot of one-score games.
Yes. And Minnesota, an unprecedented 11-0 in one-score games, 5 game-winning field goals this year. They're frauds. But to the Giants, I think the question that Dable and Shane are going to have to, one, ask and answer is, look, Dable, we know he's probably going to be the coach of the year. Already through year one, we've established he's a really good coach. Shane had a pretty good draft. He's really good at what he does. So the question is, when we become a contender, is Daniel Jones our starting quarterback? Can we envision a scenario that exists where we get the talent, you know, Saquon comes back and he continues to be great. We can, you know, plug some pieces in on that defense. I know they're dealing with injuries this year. Adoree Jackson, Xavier McKinney. But once we get our defense whole and healthy and we get this team to look the way we want, are we capable of reaching our full potential with Daniel Jones at quarterback? And I think that's the question they're going to have to answer. And we're going to see what they feel about that when it comes to the contract negotiations. Because I do think there would be a team desperate enough to overpay for Daniel Jones. I think that is possible. But for him, Larry, I still feel like there's value in being, and I'm not a Giant fan, so, you know, this isn't me just trying to sell Daniel Jones. I think there's value in being the quarterback of the New York Giants, especially with this head coach. So that has to be a factor as well.
That's a Big Blue Report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pico designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. I agree with you. And the fact that he's been so successful, look how efficient he's been. He's still been sacked a lot, but nevertheless, his turnovers have cut down. As Jordan mentioned in his report this morning, he's been available. So, and the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, this Giant team is, come on, Ty, this is not an 8-win team.
No, it's not.
It's not an 8-win team. And they are, with a win Sunday against Indy, they will be in the playoffs. I'm just telling you. And it's because of the coaching and the way that Daniel Jones has played offensively.
Which, by the way, I would love to be there on Sunday and witness that. The Colts are a joke of a football team. This is a game the Giants should roll. So it's set up perfectly. No, you don't love losing any game, especially that one to Minnesota. It was heartbreaking to lose on a 61-yard field goal. But it sets up something really cool for Giant fans to experience a playoff berth being clinched at home in your building. You know, for a team that at the early in the year wasn't expected to do much, and now you get to be there to witness the first playoff appearance or the clinching of a playoff appearance for the first time in 6 years. So it sets up a pretty cool moment on Sunday at MetLife Stadium.
And that's what you're supposed to do. Win on your own. You don't need help. You have the opportunity to wrap this up right now. Go take care of a Colts team that's not good.
Oh, they're dreadful.
I mean, they can't even figure out who the quarterback is. Go in there, handle your business, and just go in there and win. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. Aaron's in the car. What's up, Aaron? You're next on the Michael Kay Show.
Hey, good evening, Larry. Good evening, Ty, and the company. How are we doing, guys?
Yo, big up the company. What up?
What's going on? So I kind of want to get on this conversation about the Jets quarterback situation. We know how bad it is right now. But Larry, you brought up an interesting point about Mike White, how he's kind of slow to process the information that kind of leads to him, you know, taking the hits, that and along with him being unable to protect himself. I think some of that could, you know, evolve and get a little bit better, though. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of reps with the ones, you know, as it is as far as regular season games. But also, I think a full training camp under his belt, obviously, depending what we see in these next 2 games, I think would benefit him. Maybe you could see a better version of him. As far as Daniel Jones is concerned, if the Giants are crazy enough to let him walk, I'm all for it. I would bring him in a heartbeat. You know, you already know he can play in New York. He's doing a lot without a lot. I think with the Jets' weapons, I think you see a good version of him. I would give him a 3 or 4 year contract.
I hear what you're saying, Aaron. Thanks for the phone call. And once again, I said that Zach Wilson has trouble processing, not White. White, his issue is just the lack of mobility. But, you know, getting the reps will also allow you to pick up the tempo. But here's the thing that's so interesting to me, Ty, is LaFleur will run a hurry up or no huddle offense with White. He won't run it with Wilson.
That's also like,
isn't that crazy?
It's funny to see, like, it feels like the game plan is different.
It is.
Other quarterbacks are in there versus with Zach Wilson. It's just more simplistic.
It's amazing. It is. And so I think sometimes I believe, and maybe he just, maybe they don't practice it or he hasn't done well with it or whatever. But just for me, I always felt that a change in tempo is always good to keep a defense off balance.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's because I watched Belichick do it to the Jets all those years, right, with Brady. The Brady did it even in Tampa. He did it Sunday night, which is how they ended up winning that game. He went into a quick, you know, changed the tempo of the game. There's so many different things that you can do with your quarterback, Ty, when you have confidence that they can handle certain things.
Tom Brady's a free agent at the end of the year, by the way. You think he'd be interested in playing quarterback of the Jets?
Where he's going to go, and I'm going to tell you, you know, he's not had a great year this year.
Oh, he's been awful.
He's not been good.
And might end up winning a playoff game, which is crazy.
Isn't that something? And when Chris Collinsworth is on the air saying, I don't know what we're seeing right now, and he's talking about Tom Brady, I mean, it's weird. But where
did you see Brady took a shot back at Collinsworth?
Mm-hmm.
he said he's gonna be in the booth soon enough to start answering some of these people who are taking shots at him.
Yeah, but then it won't matter because he'll be in the booth.
Yeah,
he won't be on the field, so they'll be right because he'll be retired finally. But the funny thing is that he's where he goes, Ty. It's going to be somebody that's got to win right now. You're not coming
San Francisco.
Here. It's got to be someplace got to win right now.
That seems to be like if he is coming back next year, San Francisco has to be the perfect spot. He's been flirting with that team for all these years. They're clearly a quarterback away, or maybe they're not a quarterback away because they could very well win it all this year with Brock mm-hmm. Purdy, or if Jimmy G comes back. But if they don't, that has to be the move there.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This Big Blue Report is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Ty, we've talked a lot about the lack of talent on this Giant team. We've talked a lot about what Daniel Jones has been able to do. We've talked even about Saquon Barkley and what he's brought to the table this year. So, for Jordan Ronan, who was on the DiPietro and Rothenberg show this morning, he was asked how much credit goes to the Giants coaching staff for this success.
They're in the position they are in large part because of the coaching. I mean, think about the job that Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka have done with Daniel Jones in this offense, really extracting every last drop out of the group with borderline practice squad wide receivers. Darius Slayton, who, if you think back, was inactive week one. And now he's their number one wide receiver. Like, that's really getting the most out of this group. Wink Martindale, too. I mean, this isn't an overly talented defense. There are a bunch of holes all over the place. They're making do, so they absolutely deserve the credit. Brian Daboll, I think, should win the NFL Coach of the Year honor. Quite frankly, I don't think it's even close. To me, the Giants make the playoffs. Brian Daboll's going to be Coach of the Year. So that really tells you how great a job he's done this season.
It really does, and he's not been alone. We talked about, his offensive coordinator. We've talked about the defense. Even special teams, Ty. One thing we can be sure of, I think, and we'll find out about Joe Shane and what he does in the front office, but for right now, we could say the Giant coaching staff has been a hit.
Yes, it has been a hit. And I asked Steve Young this the other day. Like, is there a chance that Mike Tomlin can come out of nowhere and steal the Coach of the Year award away from Daboll? Because if this Steelers group that went from Mitch Trubisky to Kenny Pickett finds its way to 9-8, even if they miss the playoffs, I think that would be a hell of an accomplishment by Tomlin. But the point Steve Young made was Tomlin is a great coach, and we've always known that. The Steelers are well run, so it's no surprise. Even with the lack of talent, there's no surprise that they're going to get every bit of, juice out of the orange. Whereas with the Giants, they had to, reestablish themselves. And Daboll came into a bad situation and has them in the playoffs. So I thought there was a chance he could have it stolen from him. But I'm with Jordan Ronan. Right now, it doesn't feel like it's in any close, especially if the Giants close the deal and make the playoffs this Sunday.
And that's the Big Blue Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. Tell them Michael K sent you. 1-800-919-3776. John's in Florida. John, you're next on the Michael K Show.
Yes, sir. And both of you, I've really earned a lot listening to you. I'm from New York, and I'm down here in Florida. And my question is, please, it's a two-part question, and then I request to hang up and let you answer. The first part is Teddy Bridgewater's knees really shot like some people say they are? Because if not, he could there could be an ups. I mean, the Dolphins could win that game because I remember him when he was in his prime. He was a heck of a quarterback. And the second thing, please, and then again I'd like to hang up and listen, is can Tua, do you think, get a huge settlement if he can prove any wrongdoing and his parents said, we don't want you playing anymore because your brain's going to be jello soon? He's taken so many head injuries. Can he find any wrongdoing by the spotters up there and everything and get a huge settlement and not have to worry in the area of like $100 million and not have to worry about playing again. And again, thank you guys very much.
All right, John, thanks for checking in. Ty, that's an interesting question because right now you have to be very concerned about Tua playing football ever again.
I mean, third concussion.
In a season. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be very concerned. And listen, if the NFL is supposedly very concerned about head trauma and head injuries and they're doing all these rule changes to make player safety and whatnot, there should be a settlement involved for him regardless about whether he, you know, for him not to play again. I would, if I was, and it's easy for me to say, but if I was a family member, I would have to tell him, man, you got to give it up.
It's very concerning. Your third concussion in one year, and it's hard to say what the situation is going to be as far as a settlement is concerned. But it's definitely something that has to be looked into, especially because I mean they clearly got it wrong. I forget the first game it was where he could barely walk and he was back into the game.
Yeah.
So something went wrong. You had a doctor get fired. It's going to be interesting to see what comes of this situation because it's scary, but, you know, you do hope and pray that Tua is okay. I don't know that we can sit here and say, you know, any amount of money is going to cause him to be willing to give up football because it's still a sport he loves, right? Like, mm-hmm. This is something he worked his entire life to get to. I just hope and pray that he's fine because that is scary to consider.
And then for McDaniels to say today, yes, he did have a concussion, I mean, What goes with the protocols?
Yeah, what's going on?
I mean, today's Wednesday.
Guys, what's happening?
It's Sunday.
Something's going wrong with that operation.
You know, they got to do a better job with that. That's a scary situation. And to answer your question about Teddy Bridgewater is a very good quarterback. He's not the mobile quarterback he was previously when he had before the knees, but he's very good. He's comparable. He knows the offense. And he's going to, you know, as far as Jet fans hope, he's going to do a good job and help get rid of that New England situation up there.
Well, he went 7-7 as a member of the Broncos last year.
That's right.
I'm pulling for him.
I know you are.
I hope he goes 1-1 the rest of the season, but with the one win being this weekend.
There's no question about it. But he's definitely a competent quarterback, and he can get the job done. Listen, all he got to do is throw a 5-yard slant to Tyreek Hill. You're good. You got Hill, you got Waddle, you got Gesicki, you got a bunch of options. They got a bunch of options with Miami. So
Mostert, yeah, it's just a lot. Yeah,
they do. You know, Belichick, yeah, he would love to eliminate the Jets, but he's trying to stay alive himself, so he needs to get this win.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.